Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
All right, so the recording is working, apparently.
Nice.
So
can you hear my computer audio if I play a sound? Like if I do, and I don't really know about Zoom because I'm usually just listening, but can you hear like this?
No, I can. I don't hear anything on that end.
Okay, very good.
Sorry about that.
it's okay. I had a gag I wanted to do, but I can't without the audio.
Wanted to do some like sound effects, like a soundboard?
Kind of, sort of, not exactly, but yes. I don't know if you've seen the Ronaldinho soccer meme going around.
No, I have not.
Oh my God.
I don't usually look at soccer memes.
Well, see, it's not exactly a soccer meme, but there was an old N64 game made by Konami. And they have there's a bootleg version from Brazil, which is Ronaldinho soccer, and that just people have just been putting it's basically, you know, it's a Rickroll variant. I don't know whatever type of meme you want to call that, but it's just the opening is like a metallic soccer ball flies out of nowhere. The name comes up, Ronaldinho, or Mundial, Ronaldinho Soccer 64. And then he goes, ha, 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 Ronaldinho Soccer.
See, we don't even need the sound effects. You could just do it.
It's just great. It's because it's like people do things like, they post like one of those, like done to death videos. There's one Naruto fight scene that's like a meme because it's just like, people were just like, this is an underrated fight. And it's like, the most popular scene in the fucking entire series. So like someone posts that video saying like, this really is an underrated fight. And then you start watching the video. And after a couple seconds, the soccer ball flies in and then it's ha ha ha, Ronaldinho soccer.
It sounds truly a meme for this age.
Yes, it's good.
A meme for the Corona age.
Yeah, it's just another one of the misdirect variants. There's a bunch of those, you know, like you think you're gonna watch something and then it does something else that's humorous.
It's exactly,
yeah.
the new memes that are coming out of this Corona, the Coronas, as I like to call it, is they're startlingly disappointing, actually.
You think so?
Yeah. Wait,
do you mean specific memes about Corona or just the memes that are being generated right now?
The memes that are being generated right now. I think memes are...
Ronaldinho soccer is really good. You have to... That's the thing. It's never going to work on you now because I told you about it. So you'll never have the experience of like trying to watch a video and then suddenly, ha ha ha, Ronaldinho soccer.
Yeah, I guess maybe
it's outrageous. It's my favorite right now.
It's my favorite right now.
Yeah.
Right. No, this I expect because it's such a shitty time for the world that memes can only come out of times of malaise rather than actual conflict. Like you have to be bored to come up with good memes.
Mm.
And because people aren't bored, like people are like living in fear or actually having to sit at their desk all day to work, that they don't actually want to come up with good memes.
Worried or out of their mind.
Okay. Yeah, kind of that kind of shit.
Speaking of out of their mind, there's a gigantic fucking congregation of boomers and their children just unmasked, hanging out, having a fucking block party at the closed bar by my house.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, there's like 40 people just fucking sitting out there sharing food, no masks, having a good time.
Do they have signs that say like quarantine? What was it? Like quarantine is
Hashtag plandemic.
Yeah, hashtag plandemic. That's what it is.
Yes. Yeah, no, I didn't see any signs. I just saw that there was a massive group of boomers all just hanging out, ignoring any sort of social distance. And I was like, ah, yes.
The reason why we'll never be able to go back to the real world.
Yes, I was just like, that's the most American thing I've ever seen.
No, the most American thing that we've ever seen has happened in Atlanta, or in Georgia, I should say. But we're not going to talk about that.
Oh, well, you know, that's historical America. This is
that's what I'm saying. That's how you know that, like, you know, the world really hasn't changed that much.
Yeah, no, that's the America we can't escape from. This is the contemporary. That's the American past we can't escape from. This is the contemporary America we can't escape from. We're getting it on both ends.
Getting it on both ends. Hey, everybody, welcome to Game Classy Podcast. I'm your host, Joe, and with me, as always, not actually, I can't see him in the video, is Steve.
No webcam.
Yeah, he has no webcam currently, so I'm doing this to his voice, so I can't see him playing anime RPGs while we record like I normally do.
It's been Planescape Torment, actually.
Planescape Torment?
Yes, Dungeons & Dragons, Planescape Torment, which might be the best computer role-playing game ever made.
That's some bold statement right there.
It's very good. It's a bit old, like some of the things that are annoying are just, it's old, but in terms of the story, the dialogue options, the way that the game unfolds to you is just, it's top. Like I it's just very good.
Oh, there
it's,
you go.
It's made by the I think it's the last Dungeons and Dragons Infinity game. It might have been before Icewind Dale 2. Or I think it was the last one, but I'm not sure. But it's very, very good. And it's one of the coolest D&D universes, which is Planescape. So
does it have Castlevania music while you're playing?
No. Why would it have Castlevania music?
I don't know. It makes every video game better.
I mean, that's true. That's actually just accurate, so I can't really counter that argument.
Yeah, it's like the Castlevania music is a classic for me. It's a classic dungeon crawl soundtrack.
It's funny because I've been playing. One of the things I did in addition to starting my my push up routine during quarantine is I started playing old fucking computer games. So I went on GOG. And I just wishlisted basically every super old computer game they had, like old CRPGs. And then I waited because like they have rotating sales every weekend. And then every time that they put up a batch would go, it's like a bunch of stuff on your wishlist is on sale. And I'm like, yes, I will take this $90 worth of video games for $20. And then...
Like how old are you talking? Are you talking like NES era? Or are you talking like Zork?
I'm talking, it's not as old as Zork, but like, so MS-DOS.
Okay.
So Might and Magic, I bought the Might and Magic collection, which is Might and Magic 1-6. So Might and Magic 1 is probably one of the most dated games out there that's still, I would say, playable. Because it's that one was ported to NES and PC Engine. And PC Engine had the best port, but that's neither here nor there. So I've been playing a lot of old-ass RPGs. And like Eye of the Beholder, I got the Eye of the Beholder trilogy.
Eye of the Beholder, it's the thrill of the fight, pushing arrows to move one square at a time.
Sometimes you click on the directions because the WASD doesn't work, because you have to use the arrow keys, because it was made for fucking DOS. that specifically, the Eye of the Beholder series, and Might and Magic, actually, are interesting because they have some integration for the mouse, but... All of those older games, the specific reason that they use the arrow keys and not WASD is because none of them were designed with mouse support.
Yeah.
All of them were designed to be played entirely with your keyboard. So when you see those old games and you're like, why is this design choice here? And it's like, cause it's a keyboard. This is why you need a manual to play Might and Magic, because there's a fuck ton of shortcuts required to use on the keyboard. But the game does not explain them to you.
No.
So you're just like, why can't I move? How can I? Oh, you want to cast a spell? Okay. What level and what spell number? What do you mean what level and what spell number? I just want to know the name of the spell. What level? What spell number? I see.
Well, what's the line from the Simpsons where it's like, American shows reward in knowledge. In Japan, we punish ignorance.
Yes, yes. Yes, that is the line.
Which pretty much describes everything on that, yeah. So I think the question that I have for you is, have you finished the Nurgle?
I'm basing them.
So you're not done yet?
No, well, I mean, I'm basing them, so.
No, that's not done. You're not done unless you're based. Three colors of the base, yo.
Well, see, here's the thing. Again, my Nurgle figures were all technically done at the level of like where if we were to like go to a court of law, I could argue that they were finished. I could just be like, well, see, they are technically finished.
And then you got like Judge Judy, who's like, don't piss on me and call it sunshine.
Fuck Judge Judy.
That's what you say. You're like, but they're almost done. And she's like, not according to the rules of Games Workshop.
and then a bunch of people come in and they're like, liberate the Steve, and they kill Judge Judy in a violent riot.
Plandemic?
Plandemic.
I have gotten to the point now in my life where I have seen that video plandemic posted by some people and I just go, it's not worth it. Like you know that like you have your conspiracy minded whatever friends from not like friends but just like acquaintances that you have on Facebook, and they post it, and then like I have to take a second because I gotta see how many like likes it has, and like I'll see someone who posts it and it'll have like one frowny face and one thumbs up, and I'm just like, all right, then obviously this guy's most of the people on this guy's Facebook page
think he's an idiot. I don't engage. Just
I know.
Either I completely ignore it or I just block the person. Like, cause you can't. It doesn't matter. Like, you can't. You know what? Everything boils down to a 40K rules argument.
You gonna flip a coin?
Everything in the world everything boils down to a adult baby man child 40K rules argument at a tournament where two guys are yelling at each other and there is no judge. So it's just two guys yelling at each other. And like, no one's going to convince the other one that they're wrong because they're right. And there's no middle ground where someone says, hey, I think. And then to further exacerbate the real world analogy here, if there was a judge, and sometimes there is a judge, they'll come over to the table and they'll make a call. And one of the players, whichever player is ruled against, will bitch about it probably forever. Maybe even online. The difference is for the real world, when the judge comes over and says, hey, you can't do that, the person just goes, open the economy! And just kicks the judge, ignoring the judge's ruling, kicking the judge off the cliff.
I was actually on our Facebook page, someone posted about like just how open we are currently. Hold on a second. I'm gonna pull it up really quick because
how open America is compared to other countries.
Yeah, it was a pretty great comment. Like he was just like, what? This
yeah, he's like, you guys consider that lockdown?
Yeah. It was Andrew. He goes, your idea of lockdown really confuses me. You're stuck at home, but you can still do curbside pickup from gaming stores. Yeah, technically. Well, okay. Well,
during that time, they weren't supposed to be doing that.
They were not supposed to be doing that.
Yes.
But if you called them up, most people were still like had one person working at the store, and I could say like, all right, I need this paint, and I need this, and this. And then they would just stick it in a bag. You give them your credit card, or you give them credit card information. They take it, they swipe it, they get it done, and then just run it out and dump it in your car. It's, you know, it's whatever.
I did not participate in such flagrant disregard of the rules.
You haven't left your apartment in weeks. let's be fair. Some of us need to get out. Some of us have children, and we have to leave the house in order.
Who is that? Not mine.
I wasn't planning on having my children during the only quarantine in the American history. You know, like I say to myself, it's like, you know, we really have like some good plans in regards. Okay. So I have a book recommendation. It's not really a great book right now, but it's Dan Carlin's book. It's like The End Is Always Near, I think is what it's called. And I finished it pretty much before this thing even happened, right? It was like, it came out 2 months before this happened. I finished it. And then like everything that he said in there about pandemics, like came true. But he was like, you know, we've planned for this pretty well in the past. Our medical profession has been working really hard on how to, you know, cure stuff, and we have stockpiles now and plans. And apparently, when he was writing this book, he just didn't take into account how dumb the federal government is. So,
yep,
yeah, and so that's it's an interesting read because it's like, oh yeah, the federal government was like, this is stupid. We're never going to have a pandemic.
That'll never happen.
That'll never happen. This is silly. We'll get rid of all of our stockpiles and all these people who keep track of this shit.
Gotta love it.
Yes, exactly. The what was I saying? I wanted to give an update on my online Star Wars RPG that I've been playing. I only play Star Wars games. By the way, the dice system for the Fantasy Flight Star Wars is the dumbest thing ever.
Oh yeah. We need to sell specific custom dice system.
Yeah. So because their dice is so stupid, I just went to a dice roller site.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that for my dice rolls, because all you do is like you plug in everything and it just tells you you succeed or you fail. Like that's all it has to be. Like it's certain, like to some points it just has to be like a you pass or you fail.
Yes.
And I don't understand why it has to be more complicated than that.
It's actually kind of funny. I was I started kicking around an idea for a simplified but good RPG, and one of the things I had planned to do is for the skills page.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically every skill will have a list of, it's essentially like, is this a binary skill, yes, no, or is this a fail forward skill? So like, for example, like lock picking, that is not a binary yes, no skill in RPGs. Your character is if you're trained. So the idea is if you fail your lock picking test, you still pick the lock, but a complication arises.
Okay.
So perhaps it was a lock that you needed to pick quickly. You could not pick it quickly. So you'll still get whatever was locked unlocked, but because time was a factor, you did it too slow. So whatever made time a factor comes to pass.
You did it too slow.
Yeah, you did it too slow. So like there's so few tests that should actually be a 100% yes or no, like you don't know. Like lore is a great example of a test that should never be a yes no. Like a lot of people use lore. I listen to people playing, and like a lot of people use lore as like a straight, like the person will be like, do I know anything about this statue from history or whatever, because it's a statue of like some elven noble. And then the DM will be like, take a lore elves check. And then the person will fail their lore elves check. And rather than giving them any information or an incomplete history or even a completely wrong history, they just go, you don't know anything. which is dumb for a lot of reasons. Like, because like if your character has lore elves, that means your character spent literal like chunks of their life learning and becoming somewhat of a historian on the elves, depending on how high their skill points are in said skill. So it makes zero sense. Like, it doesn't even make sense for someone who has like lore of the elves to know literally nothing about an elf famous enough to have a giant statue.
Yeah.
Like I could, you might not be like, oh, this is Kalandor. He was born 300 years ago.
And
he was the son of blah, 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 blah. And like, you're not going to lay out all of their history if you fail, right? But you're not going to be like, that's a statue.
Well, that's what it'd be like, an epic fail. Like, you roll a one on your lore test and it's like, it is a statue of an elf.
Yeah. Well, see for that, for a critical fail, you would give them the wrong history. You would be like, he made a mistake. He thought it was Celebrimbor, but it was actually Calimbor. See, that's how you do that. So you still don't have an objective like yes, no, fail. The only time the yes, no, fail really, really should go is, did I hit that guy with my axe? those are the only real, like, should always be yes, no tests.
I think because of my experience now with America, I think that there should be a racism box on most of these things. So like, if it's like, you're racist, but what are you racist against? Oh, elves. Okay. So it's like, you know your lore, but you don't care because it's an elf.
Because it's an elf.
Yeah.
They didn't actually happen.
Yeah. The Plandemic?
Plandemic? There was a what system was it? There's actually it's kind of funny. I don't remember a tabletop game, but I know in Arcanum of Steamworks and Magic Obscura by Troika Games, there is a huge racial interaction thing in that game. Like, depending on what race you play as, there's tons of characters and areas that have different opinions of you based on your race, which I thought was very cool. Because there's like, if you're a halfling, pretty much everyone likes you. And then like, there's maybe a few like storekeepers who are like, watch your sticky fingers, halfling. Like, beyond that, that's it. But if you play as like a half ogre, people are like, no one is blatantly racist towards the half ogres generally, because they're terrified that the half ogre would just crush their head in their hands. But they are, they'll discriminate against you. But then like the elf, if you're an elf and you go to the dwarf city, the dwarves don't like you. And vice versa. If you're a dwarf and you go to the elf city, the elves don't like you.
I was, I've been playing with the Star Wars character, trying to figure out, like, what's my character's motivations, blah, blah, blah. I'm not really one of those guys who loves to do the, plans it out too far ahead of time. I like to play in the character a little bit to kind of get a feel for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I determined that my guy is actually a kind of just, I don't want to say a psychopath, because that's not really it, but he's like the type of guy that really doesn't mind cutting a person open just to take organs.
I'm going
to
cut you. Would you say he's like, is he like, what's his name from Futurama? The stab. I'm going to just practice my stabbing.
A little bit.
What's his robot? I think it's Ronaldo. I can't remember the name of that robot.
No, he's more like, so my character is a big game hunter, right?
Okay.
So I like killing animals kind of thing, you know. He's a hunter, so it's okay. But so if that's like
Roberto, that's the name.
Yeah. So Roberto. Then I kind of in the last session we took down a hut crime lord, right? And so I spent the next few turns just kind of cutting them open, taking out the important parts, sell them, see if I can find some person who wants the organs. And I'm just like, I'm like, you guys do whatever you want. I'm elbow deep in a hut here. You guys can, go off.
You know, elbow deep in a hut could have multiple ways to read that situation.
Well, exactly. And but no, it's like, I'm like, oh yeah, you're going to get to this. We're going to get this. And then, like, just describing in detail what I'm doing out of the taking out of the hut carcass. And I'm like, yeah, I know this was once a living sentient being, but it's okay because I can get a couple credits for the liver.
It's okay because it's a hut.
It's okay because it's a hut.
Yeah.
It's okay, man.
It's a hut.
I'm hoping that at some point I get to do that to a human character and just watch the other players just be like, I'm like,
hey, no. You Bender style. Hey, baby, you want to kill all humans?
No, yeah, and I'm my character's not human, so I don't care. You know,
are you a Toydarian?
I'm a Toydarian.
Jedi magics don't work on me. Only money. I like that. In addition to the fact that Lucas gave him a gigantic nose and a thick Yiddish accent, he also managed to slap a yarmulke on his head at one point.
Yeah, well, it was more like it actually looked more like a Asian rice hat. You know, whatever those things are called.
I think I'm pretty sure it was a space yarmulke, a spamica.
It could very well be. Could very well be. Yes, that's my character. I'm developing it slowly into kind of like a, I don't want to say Dexter, because he's not a serial killer. He doesn't like,
he's just indifferent to life.
He pretty much.
Yeah. He's a sociopath. He's indifferent to life. You don't actually have to be like, I think the rule of thumb is all serial killers are sociopaths, yes, but not all sociopaths are serial killers.
Yeah. Kind of. I think a little bit. I'm definitely, but I don't know if I'm a sociopath, because I think my guy is has a lot of empathy and he cares. He just, you know, once he kills something, he's gonna, you know, make use of all the important organs and skin.
I know where to put the gubbins.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like, well, I killed this person. It's just the body right now, so why not use the skin as a to make myself a fresh pair of kicks? You know?
Yeah, man, they're dead.
They're dead. It's no matter at this point. It's like,
you're not supposed to be here. You're dead.
I was thinking about being a droid character for a while, but I'm like, meh. I don't know about that. Maybe my next character will be just a Bender, essentially.
Hey, baby, you want to kill all humans?
Or who's the stabbing robot?
That's Roberto.
Oh, that's Roberto. Okay.
Yeah, he's like, I'm over here practicing my stabbing.
Damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I roll up the character, he's like, what kind of weapons do you have? I just got a paring knife. That's all
I got. He's got a big knife. Wait, didn't you just rob this bank last week? They'll never expect me to rob the same place twice.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's good. He's just a funny version of a funnier version of HK-47 from Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, yeah. And I never played KOTOR.
Oh, really? It's pretty good.
I mean, I played it, but I never, like, got into it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's.
I played it, and I was like, oh, there's so many dialogue options.
There is an absolute fuck it. That's the one thing about Planescape Torment and why I think it's going to forever be a game that a lot of, like, people our age talk about and maybe some younger people get into. But one of the biggest things that dates it heavily, it's kind of the same thing that dates Morrowind heavily, because I think Morrowind is the best role-playing part. Like, the best role-playing of the Elder Scrolls games, in my opinion, is in Morrowind. But, and much like Planescape Torment, for the same reason, they're locked behind mountains and mountains of reading-only dialogue.
Yeah.
There's very, like, Morrowind has a lot more voice acting compared to Planescape, but it still has huge walls of text. So, like, if you want to get a lot of the great twists, and Gesundheit. A lot of the great twists and best story moments, they're all in, you know, big blocks of text, which is fine for me because I read pretty fast and I'm used to reading a lot, but I can see why, every modern RPG, there's no such thing as, like, reading dialogue anymore. Like,
you can understand why Pat gets so upset whenever he has to read. I don't like this game because it makes me read.
I actually was talking to Pat yesterday about we were talking about the Neo Geo the new Neo Geo retro stuff.
Did you see their? I know you're boycott. And I don't know if you're still boycotting Mass Effect, but did you see they're redoing those games now?
It's a boycott of BioWare, but it doesn't actually matter because I have a full boycott on Electronic Arts, and Electronic Arts owns BioWare.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, it's like it doesn't actually matter because, like, I have a boycott on the parent company. It's like I have a boycott of Activision.
If the remaster of BioShock, if the remaster of Mass Effect 1 actually had, like, voice acting and shit, I'd probably like it a little bit more.
Mass Effect 1's fully voice acted.
Is it? I only thought Mass Effect 2 had the... Oh, no, I'm thinking Dragon Age. Dragon Age 1 did not have the...
Yes, your character doesn't... Your character is a silent protagonist in Dragon Age 1.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Dragon Age has no voice acting for your... It has voice acting for everyone but your character in Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Although Dragon Age mechanically is the best one of those games because you can make it look like Baldur's Gate.
And then you have Dragon Age 2 where you just fight in the same...
The same hole.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, that cave again.
Or that warehouse. Oh, it's the warehouse again.
Yes, yeah. You need to go to this warehouse that's been infested by rats. Like, wait, wasn't that exact same warehouse infested by bandits literally 10 minutes ago?
Yeah,
the rats, they breed quick, man. Won't the bodies of all the bandits I killed still be there? Nah.
Nah. Rodents of unusual size.
I don't believe in those.
You gotta spend the first mission killing spider skulls. Go for it. Why are there so many skulls for these spiders? But no, that's I was looking at that and I was like, I could use a Mass Effect redux, make it look pretty. I enjoyed the Mass Effect games.
They would need to improve the combat for the first game as well, I think. The first game has pretty the biggest gripe about the first game is that its combat was kind of clunky even for the time it came out.
Well, yeah. So the one thing I think we can say in terms of news lately is that Games Workshop has reopened for sales.
Yes, they're back.
They're back. But it's as opposed to every other gaming company that was still kind of running. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I actually applaud Workshop for just shutting down and being like, hey, we're not going to do this. I think that was nice of them.
Yeah, I'm just that was nice of them.
I mean, a lot of this is like, whatever. I don't want to fucking get into goddamn, I don't want to make this a fucking cast about the goddamn coronavirus. Even though it kind of already is, and I guess it's already like infused itself into every aspect of everyone's life right now.
Yes, we had the before times, and now we have the coronas times.
we got to have the after times too. The before times is the long, long ago. We're currently living in the long ago, and then after we'll be living in the now. But we will refer to the time we're in right now as the long ago.
I call this the dark ages.
More like the dork ages.
Zing!
Got him.
You got him good. The most companies kept open. I was actually watching The Simpsons this morning, and You'll Only Move Twice was on, which is the Hank Scorpio episode.
That's a great episode.
It is. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I should model my managerial style on Hank Scorpio because he's kind of a great boss.
Hank Scorpio? He's great. Well, that was the entire conceit and gag of the episode. He's a monstrous supervillain, but he's great. He's a great guy.
He's not even a monstrous supervillain, really. He's a Bond villain, but he's like, when you think about it, we have real life Bond villains in the world. Like, you know, we got Zuckerberg, we got Bezos, we got
the dude who looks like Big Boss from Metal Gear, who actually sounds like he's giving a Metal Gear speech every time he talks. That one Republican.
I have no idea who that is.
He's missing an eye.
That guy. Yeah, he's
that dude. Legit looks like that dude and talks like a Metal Gear villain.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that he's so focused on the left because he can't really see in that direction. He's just a know-nothing who just capitalizes on the fact that he lost his eye in combat, and that's why you should vote for him.
And looks like a Bond villain.
Not because he has any sort of, like, actual, you know, ideas.
Oh yeah, of course not. You can't mock him because he's a veteran.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't dick ride the military on this podcast.
Thank you for your service.
That was perfect.
I was thinking about that. It's like King Scorpio is this great boss, but we have like actual supervillains, like Bond level supervillains, like Goldfinger or Blofeld in America right now. And they're nothing like Hank Scorpio. You think they'd be happy, but they're not. You know, like Hank Scorpio, he's got the world by the tits, and he's just having fun with it. You know.
You know what's funny about it? I'm looking at the Hank Scorpio article right now on the Simpsons Wiki, and apparently the initial plan of the Simpsons movie. It's funny because this rounds back to your point is that Hank Scorpio was going to be the villain of the Simpsons movie, but they said but for a multitude of reasons, such as his friendship with Homer and the fact that they wanted a more full-on villain for the movie, and Hank is too nice. and he probably wouldn't be recognizable to a mainstream movie audience. He was dropped and was replaced by Russ Cargill, who it became, you know, the stand-in, like, actual villain.
He's voiced by the same guy, Albert Brooks.
And Homer calls him Mr. Scorpion.
Mr. Scorpion. First of all, don't call me Mr. Scorpion. My name is Mr. Scorpio. And don't call me that. Call me Hank.
Call me Hank.
Which is kind of like how I feel I should be as a somewhat of a manager, is that I'm going to model all of my managerial skills on Hank Scorpio. Mm-hmm. Just be like hammocks. Why didn't I think of that? There's four places.
doesn't Homer get Bond killed in that one as well?
Yeah, because that's the one where he's like,
he tackles him.
You expect me to talk? I expect nothing of you other than a cheap funeral. Good day, sir. And then he gets out and Homer tackles him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Homer.
And then when Homer's at home, he's like, I tackled a loafer at work today.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
Old Simpsons is pretty good.
I know, that's one thing I've been actually kind of glad about is that my kids have kind of latched on to The Simpsons on Disney Plus.
Oh nice. So
we've been watching that quite a bit. They still haven't fixed the format yet, but it's all right.
You know, I've been, as someone who also has been watching a decent chunk of The Simpsons, do you find The Simpsons is very hard to binge?
Kind of.
Like, I get like three episodes in and I'm done. Like, I have to be done. It's very, and I wonder if that's just due to the fact that it's old and like older shows just aren't, they never intended for you to watch them at back to back to back.
Yeah, I think there's a couple reasons. That's a good one. They weren't really designed to be bingeable. I think that we have seen the classic episodes so many times too, that rewatch at our age, it's just kind of like, we just want to be reminded of some of the funny stuff. We don't actually care about what's actually happening.
Mm, yeah. Okay. I can see that.
You know, we don't really care about content so much as just the funny gags. Like, oh wait, Homer's going to say this line and it's great.
Yes. Show me the funny.
Show me the funny is what The Simpsons is basically about. It's not quite as much about the, oh, I can't wait to see what hijinks Homer and Bart get into this week.
Yeah, all right, back to it.
And then you're like, oh, Lisa episode, click. Except for the vegetarian episode, which I'll still maintain is the best Lisa episode.
The one where she is seeing her future is pretty good.
That is a good one too. That's true. I like that one quite a bit. But that one's more of like a conceptual gag more than a Lisa episode.
Mm.
Because that's more about like how the Simpsons think the year 2000 is gonna be.
I do like the concept of soy pops. I would like a soy pop.
I'll have one Soylent Green. Soylent Green.
Soylent Green.
Yeah. I'll say the vegetarian one is the best because it does have, you don't win friends with salad.
True.
And
you don't win friends with salad.
Salad. You don't win friends with salad.
That's such anyway. A good line.
No, but I have a, I think, I don't remember if I talked about this in the last cast, but I finally broke down and got Shudder.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah, because I've been binge watching the old Joe Bob Briggs.
Yes, perfect and, marathon.
Yeah, and I want to say I'm going to throw this out there because we talked about this a little bit. I'm going to say that Society is a Lovecraft movie. Not like a written by Lovecraft.
A
Lovecraftian movie, because when you think about it, you could think about it like written in the times of Lovecraft, where he's like, you might not know about my situation, less than you know about the intricacies of the upper class of New England sort of thing. But they just take it and they just transport it to like Los Angeles and all of this stuff. And the guy, it's basically him just talking about how he's not like his family and blah, 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 blah. How he can't get along with the current upper society. And then in the last like three pages, it's him walking in on the giant flesh pot orgy.
Yes.
And then it's like, he describes it. Yeah,
for me, the only argument I have against it being Lovecraftian is that there is very few like body horror themes in a lot of Lovecraft work. Lovecraft work's usually more, you know, mental horror, or you know, like the inability to comprehend something that you've seen, or like it breaking you mentally. It's not usually body horror. There definitely is some, because like there's the one where like the guy died, but he's not, but he didn't actually die. He's a flying polyp, but he doesn't realize he's a flying polyp. The Outsider, I think it's called.
Yeah, no. The Outsider is the one where it's you got the monster in the crypt.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember. There is a Lovecraft story which is written in a first person perspective, and it turns out that the dude is actually a horrific monster.
That's the Outsider. That's the Outsider. He's not a polyp. Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's not a pop. He's just a horrific monster.
He's just like a ghoul.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like, there's that, which is body horror for sure. And I know that's a very popular Lovecraft tale, but I think for the most part, I'd have to say this is more like a Cronenberg or
it's very Cronenberg, but Cronenberg.
Faith Koja. Yeah. I think Kathy. It might be Kathy. I don't know how to say her name.
Yeah, but the Outsider is like Castle Freak. Castle Freak is kind of like the Outsider.
Yes. Yeah. Straight up, that's very much like the Outsider.
Yeah, but
that's a good one. I think that's in the first season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the first season, Joe Bob.
Nice.
But the no, I'm talking like there was a Lovecraft story about a guy who like rents an apartment, and the person like above him has the room super cold, and he goes up there and it's like some guy, and it's like he's undead, and he's like he has to keep the room cold, and then the air conditioner breaks, and he ends up like melting because he's just a living pile of goop,
yes,
kind of thing,
yes,
like something like that. But it's like you could see society being this kind of this where it's all about the guy not knowing whether or not it's true. And then in the last three pages, he walks in on a giant, like, shunting.
Shunt.
First we eat, then we copulate.
Yeah.
Then we shunt. Then we shunt.
Oh, yes.
It's such a, you know, I saw that movie years ago. I'm talking, like, probably early 90s. And, that's like...
long enough ago that you've completely forgotten it.
Well, you know, I do kind of put a lot of these movies, like horror movies that I've seen, in this part of my brain where it's like, I've seen them, I didn't care for them, but I guess I was just too young to kind of understand what makes these movies so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Society's a great example. Like, I just wanted to watch it in the early 90s for boobs, right? That's the only reason I was watching most of these movies, is to see the boobs. Because
horror movies.
There was two places that you could see boobs on VHS, teen comedy and like horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you, of course, were able to rent a some softcore pornography, you know. But usually the softcore pornography was kind of mixed in with like the teen comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be able to figure that out. But then you had the horror movies, which were they usually didn't hide it.
Yes.
So you were able to rent like a movie like Society, and you're like, ooh, there's going to be boobs in this movie.
Yes, this film has titties.
Yeah, and you might laugh at the butthead part, you know.
Yes, I mean, it is pretty funny.
Yeah. But overall, you just didn't care about the plot. But right. Nowadays that I'm older and I have readily access to pornography on the internet, Society is a much better movie because I'm like watching it for the actual plot.
You're actually watching the movie.
I'm actually watching the movie.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, this is good. Hugh the Winged Serpent, which was also in season one, which I watched. God, that movie's hilarious. Like, that's a great New York movie.
Yeah,
it just really has good. That just has a dragon flying in it, you know? Yeah,
there's a dragon.
Yeah. It is in like a weird cult. Like the cult subplot, which should be like the main subplot.
It should be the main story, but it's just like a weird kind of like, if you completely excised the cult subplot from that film, you'd never notice.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, nice. Yeah I've been marathoning quite a bit on that. And I'm in the middle of Deathgasm right now, which I'm not really impressed with.
Deathgasm's okay. Deathgasm was a strong okay, but it's hard too, especially watching Joe Bob too, because I like watching Joe Bob's because he has a huge range of horror. So like you get to see like a classic like Society, and then you get to see something new, more contemporary like Deathgasm. But yeah. It also casts a light into how. And this is, I think this is a reason why films like Hereditary and, what's the other one from Ari Aster? I can't remember the name. Midsommar. Why Hereditary and Midsommar are so hugely popular is because Deathgasm, I would say, fits more into the, like, expected structure of a contemporary film and a contemporary horror film at that. And it's just not as good as, like, the older style horror, which I think Hereditary and Midsommar capitalize on and improve. Like Deathgasm is a Deathgasm, and I like Deathgasm. I think it's good. But I think that a lot of the more recent horror movies are like they're in their own thing, and they're like they're only in the new. And I think
live in the now, man.
Yeah, I think Ari Aster has a good idea and a good framework of getting a film that is just structured in a way. A little bit more like the old horror movies. Like the older horror movies all had, I don't know. It's hard to like pigeonhole the genre in like such a.
Yeah. Well, I think there's something to be said about a movie like Deathgasm, which is it's something that I've been struggling with a lot with watching movies, is that it doesn't quite capture the way that teenage culture kind of works now.
But it's also New Zealand.
It's New Zealand, which is weird. Yeah, I mean,
that's a big. I think that's a big factor for it too, because like, we only have our memories of growing up at that age. But we were in America. We were not in New Zealand.
America.
It does have the iconic scene of the dude in the full black metal makeup sitting eating ice cream with the like mega ultra like Karen hottie girl.
Yeah. It's New Zealand. So first of all, you can't take death metal seriously when you're talking like this. We got death metal here.
The climax of that movie is the best part, though. So you haven't gotten to the best part yet.
Yeah, it's hard to take death metal seriously alone, let alone with a New Zealand accent. Sorry, man.
I like the New Zealand accent.
It's very hard to take seriously with a death metal undertone.
It's not scary. I think the New Zealand accent is not scary.
Yeah, man, it's not that scary.
Although that movie Wolf Creek did its best to make the Australian accent scary.
Well, Australian can be scary.
I think it's because Australia is scary, and they're all descendants of hardcore criminals.
Yeah. I mean, well, we don't know. Well, they're all hardcore criminals. It doesn't have to just be descendants.
I know. This is a joke. We're all descendants of horrible monsters.
Not my family. I always say that my family are a bunch of quitters. That's how we serve. And I say that about, like, because, I've said on the podcast, I'm very Polish. And you got to remember, my family somehow in Poland survived every major European engagement all the way up until, 1912 when they came over. And it's like, the only way that we could have done that was just by being, like, really cowardly. Like, I feel like that is, like, we are not a heroic family. So it's just, we were just like, what? There's another war coming? Oh, fuck this. We're going over to America. They don't have wars.
Well, we only export war, so I mean, kinda.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, all of that Polish side. No, we don't get involved in that. No. War. That's not easy. Yeah, my family likes to take the easy route. I tend to feel on a lot of that stuff. So, yeah, I tend to feel we're not hardcore criminals, because we're like, if you break a crime, if you, commit a crime, you're going to jail, and we won't survive very long in jail. We're not jail people.
I just got linked a picture of a T-Rex skull bong, and it's one of the coolest bongs I've ever seen.
That's the ugliest damn bong I've ever seen.
Far out, man. I haven't seen a bong in years.
Well, getting back to Deathgasm, it's like one of the things that I'm having a hard time with is like, okay, so the movie takes place in 2015. I've worked in high schools, I've worked in grade schools and middle schools, since 2005. So I kind of know how a lot of this stuff has changed over the years. And the person who made this obviously went to high school probably in the late 90s, early 2000s, when there was still kind of a level of like jock on nerd bullying.
Oh yeah, now it doesn't seem that there's it seems like there's still plenty of there's definitely plenty of bullying left in school. It's actually like a huge problem, but it doesn't seem to be click-based anymore.
It's not really like oh, this guy likes metal music, like let's bully him. No, it's not quite, because I think most people are kind of like, because the internet has exposed people to so much in terms of like music and entertainment, the idea of, well, there's a couple exceptions, but the idea of ostracizing someone based upon what they watch or listen to is, not quite as
there's just other things to ostracize them about.
Yeah, I mean, like, if they wanted to pick on him based on his clothing, which, is standard metalhead clothing, most people don't give a shit about that anymore. I mean, people will make fun of your clothing because, like, girls will make fun of other girls because it's like, oh, she's wearing old clothes, like that's just something to pick on based on my own insecurities. And I think most kids.
And then shoes, you got to have what are those?
And I think also a lot of kids are getting savvy enough where they're just like, oh, this person is picking on me based on her own insecurities because she's got issues at home or something like that.
Yes.
I mean, this still hurts me emotionally and physically, or just emotionally, but I understand that this person is also a sad, sad human being.
Everyone's sad.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's like, that's part of the problem I'm having with Asgard. Like, he's getting picked on by his cousin or whatever it is on it. I'm like, you know, most places don't do that. I also hate the school's scenes where the teacher's like, that's a weak detention. And I'm like, that's not how detentions work anymore. They never really worked like that.
Well, you also don't know how the detentions work in the New Zealand school system.
It's true. It's the New Zealand school system. I'm assuming you have to go out and be an extra in the Lord of the Rings movies. It's detention.
You're making assumptions. You don't know.
It's true. But in America, it's like the teacher's like, I'm going to recommend you for detention to the dean to see if whether or not we're under our detention quota for the week.
We're going to start the inquiry.
Yeah, we're going to start this process, and you will be processed through detention sometime in the next 2 to 4 months.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's so they, and it's like, oh, you're suspended from school. And it's like, oh, do you know how hard it is to suspend a kid in this day and age? It's fucking impossible.
Yeah, we used to get in-school suspensions all the time in my school.
Yeah, in-school suspension is different, but, you know, most people don't like doing in-school suspension anymore either. It's, you know, it's like the best punishment is keeping you in the classroom.
Yes, that was the ultimate punishment, because I know whenever I got in-school suspension, it was always like a little mini vacation.
You know, I never got in-school suspension or detention when I was in high school.
I used to get in a lot of fights.
I would imagine you would.
Yeah, we used to.
You probably also butted heads with your teachers quite a bit as well.
Also true. I butted heads with my teachers. Got in a lot of physical altercations with other students. I was I was the worst behaved straight A student in the world.
Yeah, no, I was just a good kid. I got along with everybody. People liked me. You know, I had girlfriends. Teachers liked me.
That's because you're a dork.
I am a dork. I'm a dorkable. But anyways, I was saying the ostracization, though, it's like, I still think that I still ostracize some people based upon their likes. Like My Little Pony. If I find out that you're really into My Little Pony, I'm boy or girl. You know, if you're really into it, that's going to take it. That might be enough for me, boy.
I don't think anybody's into My Little Pony anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like now it's like those guys who are into it, it's kind of like, ugh. Like, I think, did you hear this thing about, like, the creators of the My Little Pony thing made a special pony based upon, like, a Make-A-Wish thing? Like, the kid wanted to be a My Little Pony.
Okay.
Like, on the show. So they made the kid into a Make-A-Wish, and they specifically told the bronies, don't make pornography out of this character.
It's oh, my God. There's got to be mountains and mountains and mountains of pornography of that character.
So they got upset about it, and... They got upset that they were told not to make pornography, so they made mountains of pornography out of a pony based upon a dying child.
Of course they did, because they're bronies.
And that's what make that's why I'll ostracize a little bit, because I'm kind of like, I also don't like people who say that updating a TV show, a kid's cartoon, for a newer audience ruins the show. Like, those people drive me nuts.
Oh, yeah. Nothing ruins the original. Like, if you want to say, you know what? There is one thing that can ruin the original. And you know what that is? The fucking Star Wars Special Edition. If you want to point to something that actually ruins something, you have a real-world example of how you can ruin a thing. So, unless your argument is that they're taking something that's already made, if they're taking something that's already made, re-editing it and adding new shit to it, then you can say that it is ruined. I will give you that point. If you say that a completely new version of something ruins your already existing untouched version, you are wrong.
Yeah, like the people who are like really upset about Teen Titans Go, like it's like what I always tell them is like it's not for you.
Well, there's actually a lot of the butthurt about Teen Titans Go is actually. A good percentage of it, I don't know how much, but a good percentage of the butthurt over Teen Titans Go is specifically related to Young Justice, not actually Teen Titans Go. Because Young Justice got canceled in a prime part of the story, and like a huge chunk of the story is not resolved. It basically, the series ends on a cliffhanger because it got canceled.
Yeah,
well, and then Teen Titans Go came out, so then all of the Young Justice fans blame the existence of Teen Titans Go for the cancellation of Young Justice.
Yeah, well, guess what? No one cares about you.
I mean, nobody cares about it at all. I'm just telling you why. And I'm telling you specifically, it's less to do with them being angry about the show.
Yeah, I think they're just angry because they have nothing better to be angry about.
I mean, sure.
Now they're just angry about Plandemic.
Plandemic?
Yeah, I think that they're just angry about. Getting back to gaming news, did you see the article that Games Workshop put out about the perfect play-by-yourself games?
No, but that's great.
It's like, and I know you love the solo wargaming.
I just like solo games. I like games that are able to be played solo for multiple reasons. The number one reason that I think solo games are awesome is very much you can learn the game by yourself and then teach it.
Well, I mean, I think you could play most games by yourself.
I have to use the facilities. I'll be right back.
Okay. I'm gonna pause this.
Sorry for that delay.
No, it's all right. I was actually kind of worried about you. I was going to see if I could send in a rescue party.
I had to take a Republican.
Ah. Interesting enough. Yeah. So actually, we've been recording for just about an hour now. So,
I guess I should have just waited.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going about wrapping things up here. I mean, not much in terms of gaming news. I mean, hey, they released the Lionel Johnson mini. I think we forgot to talk about that last week.
There's the Ms. Monopoly ad.
Jesus.
That's been pretty good.
Is it the same as regular Monopoly, except you get only 3/4 of the amount of money normal?
The ad is absolutely... So, I can't describe the ad, but I can say that you would have no possible way to see it coming, that it's an ad for a Ms. Monopoly game.
Yeah.
But the two long and shorts are, one, now, finally, more than ever, women can buy our product. That's the first. And then the second is that she is Mr. Monopoly's niece and a quote-unquote self-made investment guru here to change a few things, parentheses, it's about time. Which, of course, is perfect for Monopoly because they still managed to frame the niece of an obvious old money billionaire as a self-made investment guru, as if that's just the thing you bootstraps yourself into.
Yeah, exactly. She bootstrapped her way with a small $1 million loan from her rich uncle Moneybags.
Yeah. Yes. So they're cracking. It's just such a fucking head ass item. I just thought that was so funny. But the reason it's trending so specifically is because of the commercial is insane. Like it's one of those things. Like I saw it because the trending tweet I saw was just like, there's no possible way you can guess what this is an advertisement for. So I watched it and I'm just like, what the fuck is this? And then at the end, the reveal was like a hammer blow to the head. I was like, what?
Well, it's Monopoly. It's literally the worst game ever produced that everyone buys.
It's actually, so I'm gonna defend Monopoly for
it's a bad game, Steve.
The original creation and intention of Monopoly as it is fantastic, and what it was made for, it is perfect for. The problem is, and the funny thing about it is, it was made as an indictment of capitalism, but it was swindled and purchased from the original creator and then used. It was originally created as an indictment of capitalism, but capitalism took it, consumed it, repackaged it, and ruined it.
No, I'm aware of the back, like the reason why Monopoly exists. It's just a bad game.
But that's the thing. You might not be aware that there's actually two original rule sets for Monopoly. One being the classic version that is like, this is awful, someone's going to win, this is unfair and unfun. There's that version. But there's also a version where sharing the profits is how you win, and getting everyone uplifted together is how you win, written by the original rules creator.
Yeah, that could be fine. Hungry Hungry Hippos could have a whole entire subtext about the, you know, the fucking Congolese genocides.
It's not a subtext, and I'm not saying anyone should support the current version of Monopoly. I'm just saying that the lady who invented it and got swindled for the entire game for a total of $500, I don't believe that shitting on her original intentions is good. The current version, yes, is completely corrupted.
Yeah. But I mean, as I say, but still, even still, it doesn't matter the original intent or original rule set. I'm not going to go dig up the original rule set to play my copy of University of Illinopoly, you know, that you could fucking buy. Like, people literally buy that because it's a game. Like, he likes board games. He went to University of Illinois. Let's put the least amount, like, that's the literally a step above the least amount of thought.
Look, into again. Something. I'm not saying that anyone should support Monopoly currently.
Yes, you are. That's what you're saying.
I'm literally saying do not support Monopoly. There you go. Here we go. Do not support Monopoly. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, what I'm saying is that the original creator was good. That's all.
Yeah. But like everything, it had capitalism just take it and destroy it. Point where it is no longer need. All right. I don't think there's any other gaming news, so to speak.
There really hasn't been much news of anything as of late.
Well, I mean, everyone's shut down.
Other than the coronavirus.
The Coronas, as I'm calling it.
The Coronas.
It's a portmanteau of corona and virus. Coronas.
Mm.
Yes. He got the Coronas! But yes, yeah, so go to the Game Classy Facebook page.
It's been 2 years.
I know. The best way you can get in contact with us is through that page, because it's pretty much the only one where it takes the least amount of effort to make any sort of like comment back to you.
I feel I need to also reiterate, if I ever don't reply or your message gets missed, it's not that it's ignored. It's that Facebook actually sucks. And there's been many occasions where I look and I'm like, huh, it looks like there's an unread message. This unread message is from a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell me that you messaged me.
That there is truth to that. Yeah, we have that. You can also like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. If the audio on this one turns out better than the last one, I'll put it up on YouTube. But man, that audio was bad on the last one. And I felt like shit putting it up. And I'm like, whatever, we recorded it. It's fine. People will make do. A lot of people have burned through all their podcasts anyway.
I actually just started listening to to a new podcast called Dark Dice. Which is very, very good.
Do they play the Castlevania music underneath it?
They play all of their own original music, because you'd have to pay to play the Castlevania music, and or you'd get DMCA'd if you put Castlevania music in your podcast.
You will get you'll get DMCA'd?
Oh yeah, for sure. Are you kidding me? It's Konami. They're fucking awful. Oh no, it's over. Wait, no, that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough time. you got to get at least like a good 25 uninterrupted seconds for the DMCA bots to find you. So, it's a type of I think they call it a real play. I don't know. So it's a D&D session game where it's a horror D&D podcast. But the way it's edited is there's no table talk and there's no rules discussions. So it's something as simple as like, you know, if you're like, I want to know if this is, and the DM's like, that'll require a perception check. And the person just goes 17. And he goes, your character does, or it's like, you know, Ravenclaw notices this, whatever. So like it's not like a real D&D session where like, you say, can I do this thing? And then there's like a 20 minute to 25 minute break where everyone's like the DM's looking at the DM's guide, two players looking at players' manuals, trying to figure out where the rules are. So any of that might occur is gone. So it's just edited super tightly. So it's fun to listen to, because the first couple podcasts I tried to listen to of D&D games were awful, because it was like you had 2 to 3 minutes of role playing for their characters, and then you had 20 to 25 minutes of said people just like arguing about a rule instead of playing the game. And I'm like, this isn't entertaining. This is
no, it is not.
This is awful. That's like that is the thing I hate most when I'm actually playing a role playing game. So having to hear it in a podcast is the worst. I'm out.
That's true. Well, let's see if this is the one I want. No, damn it! I'm trying to find the da na 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 na.
Oh, that's that song is called Vampire Killer.
That song is called Vampire Killer?
Yes.
Let me see if I can find it. See, this is this. You all get to listen to this now. This is our new podcast.
The volume's really low on it. That's what you're looking for, right?
What's that?
That's the one you're looking for, right?
I don't know if that's necessarily the one I'm looking for. I think, I don't know. I'll have to do some research.
Oh, Bloody Tears. You want Bloody Tears.
Is that what it is?
That's what you want. You want Bloody Tears.
All right.
Yes. The song you're looking for is Bloody Tears, 100%.
Okay. Ooh. Here we go. Castlevania 2. This probably is it.
This is it. Bloody Tears. I know it.
Yes, this is it.
Okay.
Yeah! Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest.
Yeah, also, that is, they bust that out in Castlevania Season 2 on Netflix in the Battle of Dracula's Castle. There's a new remixed version of Bloody Tears going during that entire fight scene, which is incredibly good. Also, if you haven't watched the Castlevania anime, you should.
You know, I couldn't get into it. I watched the first season.
Oh, watch the second season. The first season is shit compared to the second season.
Yeah. You know what actually I did like? We finally finished up She-Ra.
She-Ra.
The first four seasons on Netflix. It ended up having like a really super cool kind of like overarching story.
Yeah, I heard it's good. Well, that comes back to where I was talking about how things are being made to be binged now. Like I started watching the not quite bootleg Rick and Morty because it's made by the same people who made Rick and Morty.
Yeah, that like outer space, you know, or whatever it's called. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's not bootleg because it's made by the same creators, but it's basically Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
So, and that show, like every episode just falls into the next one. So like there's no thinking about the story. Like you don't go, this story is a complete story, beginning, middle, end. The next episode, beginning, middle, end. It's just one amalgamous blob of story. And I think that's the difference. I think that's why it makes The Simpsons hard to binge, because every episode of The Simpsons, at least in the early seasons, I don't go past season 10, I think.
Season 9 is the one where I say, this is pretty much where we're going to end it.
Well, that was Armin Tamzarian, right?
I want to say season 10 was that.
Because I think that was considered the big a lot of people point to that episode, The Principal and the Pauper, as a turning point.
That's actual season 9, episode 2.
There's still good episodes in season 9. People point to that as like, this is the sign.
Yeah, well, it's because season 1 and season 9 actually starts off with City of New York versus Homer,
which is a great episode.
It's fantastic.
So there you go. So that's what it is. That people point to that as like, they indicate that is like where you can see the cracks start to form in the impenetrable Simpsons armor. But again, Simpsons episodes are, you watch an episode of The Simpsons and it's a story. There's an A plot. There's usually an A and B plot. There's a beginning, middle, the end, and it's done. So
yeah.
You digest a complete tale. So when you go to the next episode, you have another tale being, or two, technically a tale and a half if we want to do the A-B story, being told to you. So just, I think it's just in terms of you're being exposed and consuming media, it might just be that it's just harder to do that when it's complete stories. But when you have something that's just a blob of content, like it just doesn't matter. Like this episode, like what happens at the end of this episode immediately impacts the beginning of the next episode. It makes it's designed to just flow and it becomes a gigantic movie.
Yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily better or worse. It's just better for binging.
I don't think there's anything better or worse about it. It's just, I think it's the difference between like, can I watch 20 episodes of this straight or can I watch one? I think the only TV series that I can personally remember that wasn't designed for streaming in any capacity, but had that, I need to watch the next episode right now, was Battlestar Galactica. I think that's the only one I can think of that really, really hit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was around that time though, because that's what Lost did. Lost was the one who kind of started that whole thing of like that water cooler talk about like what is the mystery going to reveal to this time, you know?
Right.
But anyway. Yeah, and Battlestar Galactica, shit the bed.
Oh my god, what? That's I think that's still yeah. That's the other thing too. Like people were shitting on the Game of Thrones ending. I'm just like, ha ha ha! None of you've watched Battlestar Galactica. Like the Game of Thrones ending just wasn't great. I'm sure we talked about it. I don't remember if we did, but like the endings of Game of Thrones on HBO, it just wasn't great. That's all it was. It was like there was a lot of things that were disappointing, but there were a lot of things that did pay out. But then there were a lot of hanging thread loose ends that like I didn't even realize because like someone pointed out like there were these things that happened in previous seasons that were supposed to be like hints or buildups to stuff and literally nothing came of them. And I was like, huh, that's true. There's a lot of hanging threads.
Well, let me say this about season 9 of The Simpsons. You did have to come off of probably one of the stronger seasons, season 8, because that has not only does it have Mr. Sparkle in season 8. And
it's a great one.
And where Lisa goes to military camp. But it also has Homer's phobia with John Waters.
Oh, that's one of the arguable best episodes of The Simpsons ever.
Yeah, well, especially because of the fact, like, I don't know if I ever noticed this until my latest watch of it. But Homer gets mad because, like, he thinks that John is he likes his homosexuals flaming.
Yeah, I'm like homosexuals flaming.
I know that's kind of a joke in that like the character is pretty gay, but then you think about it, it's like, wait a second, this is John Waters. You know, yeah, like
the most blatantly like unapologetically super gay man for since what? When he bust out the 70s?
Yeah, like 70s.
Yeah. So like John Waters was certainly a trailblazer.
Well, that's
not apologizing for who he was.
It's like a joke that just flew over my head for a very long time, like the contrast between
them. Oh, right. Zap.
Listen, only two types of people wear Hawaiian shirts.
all the steel mills are gay. Hot stuff coming through.
I can't say anything more than this, that episode really, it's like, you kind of just want to make, like, people who are still against that sort of thing, watch this episode. Like, this is how dumb you're being.
You know? The end all be on that statement is the only time you should ever give a flying fuck about who someone is being sexual with is if one of them is a minor.
That's true.
Other than that, none of your business.
All right, so you can also like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. It's the best way that you can help out the podcast. I haven't done has anybody commented yet on our iTunes page? Let me check really quick and see if anything's on there.
Oh, hopefully someone's calling us cucks.
Ooh, cucks.
I think cuck has fallen out of favor, but unfortunately, I believe that people are swapping it for simp. Which is unfortunate because cuck and simp are two so very well the way I see a lot of people incorrectly using simp.
Okay.
But simping and being a cuck are totally different things.
Are they?
So they are. Okay. They are. They're very different. So they're not. It's not an equivalent exchange in terms of yelling at someone about something.
No, we have not gotten any reviews in quite a while, so I haven't missed anything.
Terrific.
Yes. I do like that the person that I still go back to this interview from last in this review from last year. Podcast is 60% virtue, 20% bad pop culture references. Where they say one. Steve is okay, but Joe is an absolute pile of human garbage. So
I like that our podcast is virtue signaling. That's good.
I know, but and that's the thing is you should be ashamed of yourself because the guy likes you and he's a shitlord who likes you.
I think he said sometimes.
Yeah, he did say, but he likes you more than he likes me.
That's probably just because I say things like poop.
Yeah, and you're a simp.
Heaven help me, I'm about to simp.
All right, everybody.
I will only simp for Mio Honda.
Okay. So, Steve, until next time.
Shout outs. Rest in peace to Little Richard, my man.
Yeah. And we still don't know if he died of the Ronus.
No, the last big name Rona death confirmed is Roy from Siegfried and Roy.
Oh, Montecor.
Yes, that Roy was the one. I believe Roy was the one who died of the Rona.
Give me a good Siegfried and Roy sign off.
I honestly, I don't know any Siegfried and Roy sign offs. The only Siegfried and Roy thing I can vaguely remember is when they showed them getting eaten by the tiger on The Simpsons.
Once again, Simpsons predicting the future. Yeah,
before it happened.
Game classy.